Hello, everyone. I'm Laura Letario.
And I'm Hannah Gross.
And this is the Whole Home Podcast. Thought we'd have a little fun on that one. Okay, Hannah, are you ready for games?
Absolutely. I'm always ready for games.
Okay, you get to play Where Did I Live?
Oh, gosh. Okay.
This could be really bad, or like all the games. Also really bad. Not
Should
really
be interesting.
I decided, because you've lived so many places, let's just see if you're good at trivia.
Okay.
I guess. Random. All right. I'm going to say a nickname, motto, bird, flower, and then you tell me what state it's
okay,
from.
Okay. All right.
If I tell you the state song, like almost all of them have the state name.
Yeah. State song's usually a cop out. But.
Okay. So let's see if you can get five.
Okay.
All right. Here we go.
All right.
Nickname, Sunflower State.
Kansas.
Oh, man. Okay. Yeah. You got it.
Oh, sorry. Was I supposed to wait for more?
No. You were fast.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. State nickname, Mother of Presidents.
Virginia.
Ah, you're good. Okay. Show me state.
I'm going to guess Illinois.
Okay. No. Yay.
No?
State bird is an eastern bluebird.
Okay.
The flower is the hawthorn blossom.
Oh, man. Is it Missouri?
Yeah.
Okay.
It is. Okay. And their motto is, the welfare of the people shall be the supreme law.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Wait, how many do you have? You have three, right?
Three, yeah.
Okay. How about the North Star State?
Oh, that's Minnesota.
It is.
Yeah.
Stanky. Okay. What's really hard here? Okay. Oh, the Centennial State.
Oh, shoot. The Centennial State.
Yeah. That sounds hard, right? State bird, the lark bunting.
Come on. Gosh, okay.
State flower, white and lavender columbine.
Is this New York?
Nope. Oh, and their song is Rocky Mountain High.
Oh, Colorado.
Yeah, you got it. Okay, you win. Good job, Hannah.
Huzzah.
All right, here's our game.
Mm-hmm.
We promised that we would go fast because somehow we've been sitting in my basement for hours and hours talking. Here we go.
Got this. Okay.
5 minutes, super fast. What is the best compliment you have ever received?
Somebody told me in high school that I was a great encourager and made me cry.
Aww. All right. What are you reading right now?
I'm rereading The Fellowship of the Rings.
Where are you?
I'm very early on. Frodo has not yet left the Shire.
Oh, dang.
Yeah.
Get on that. Okay. Yeah. What is the last skill you learned?
Oh, gosh. The last skill I learned. So many. Oh, gosh. I guess probably how to perfect bind a book at work with a hot glue perfect binder.
Very cool. Yeah. If you could become an expert in something, what would it be?
I would love to become an expert in another language without having to work for it.
Do you have a useless talent?
I'm really good at throwing Cheerios up in the air and catching them in my mouth.
I'm trying to think, where would you use that? Yeah.
To entertain children.
Okay, that's great. All right, two words that describe you.
Musical and serious.
No, false. go-to breakfast.
Go-to breakfast is cold cereal.
Current podcast listen.
A Whole Home Podcast, but also Haunted Cosmos.
Nice. I hear that's a good one. If I ran into you at a restaurant, where would you be?
Probably Zorch Pizza in Carytown.
What kind of pizza would you get?
Oh, their grandma style pizza. With the Parmesan and the fresh basil.
Yummy. What's your middle name?
Ione.
How do you spell that?
I-O-N-E.
Lovely.
Mm-hmm.
What book do you want more people to read?
Till We Have Faces by C.S. Lewis.
Do you journal?
No, not anymore.
Two musicians on your CD player. Do you have one?
I do. The Beths and the Oh Hellos.
Oh, fun. Is there something people typically don't know about you?
I have a DVD collection.
When do you let people know this?
When they come over to my house.
Okay. The big reveal.
And I guess when people meet me, they typically don't know that I was homeschooled, but that comes up pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How about, is there any human that changed the course of your life?
I mean, I guess my parents.
You can say your parents.
Yeah, well, stick with my parents.
What is something in your life more challenging than you expected?
Keeping up with car maintenance.
Oh.
As a child, I never thought about that at all.
Yeah.
But now as an adult, I'm like, oh, if it's not one thing, it's another.
Did you ever have an AOL screen name?
I did not.
What was your last meal?
I had a box combo from Cane's.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the new spot, yeah?
Yeah.
Do you recommend it?
Yeah, I enjoy it. Cool. I mean, if you're into fried chicken.
What is a place in scripture encouraging to you?
I really like the chapter in Job where God's like, hey, Job, chill out. You don't know anything and I know everything.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I think I know everything and I really don't. Mm-hmm.
There's some storms in there too, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're going to write a book, what would it be about?
Oh, gosh. It would probably be about my family, like stories about my immediate family, but also family history stuff.
What's your go-to karaoke song?
If I'm singing with friends, then I want to do Bohemian Rhapsody. If I'm singing by myself.
I think I've heard you sing that.
Yeah. I love Goodbye Earl by the Dixie Chicks.
Okay. What's the last thing you watched on TV?
I watched Tower Heist, a heist movie with Ben Stiller and Eddie Murphy.
Oh, funny.
Yeah.
Are you going on vacation this year?
I probably will go camping with my family sometime this summer to Pennsylvania, I think.
What is your exact favorite spot in your home?
Probably the dining room table that we have downstairs, because I can sit there and do work, but also interact with my roommates if they're around.
Nice. Ding. Boom. I said we keep moving.
Yeah.
We're going to do it.
We got this.
Yeah.
Go
all
team.
Right. Yeah, go team. I like it. Okay, Hannah, let's go to your garden. And this is where God has you planted. So tell us about your neighborhood and how long you've been there.
Yeah.
Or not about your neighborhood, you know, just where you
sure.
live.
Yeah. So I live in Oregon Hill, and I've lived there since just after graduation. So since 2019, I've been living there, and Corey has been my roommate that whole time. And I've had a few other roommates that have come and gone. Nishan was our roommate, and then she got married. Praise the Lord. You know, it's lovely. She gets to live with her forever roommate now. Mm-hmm. and now our third is Lily. And they're both remnant ladies, and I've been super blessed by our time together.
And so that is who's in your household.
Yes. Yep.
You already shared, but just a refresh. How long mm-hmm. have you been coming to Remnant, and who invited you?
Yeah. So I've been coming out to Remnant since fall of 2015. So almost 9 years. And
that's incredible.
Yeah. It's crazy really when cool. I think about it. And Ryan initially invited me and Sam out because we were in his class mm-hmm. at VCU. Yeah.
And what is your current community group?
I'm in Josh and Deanna Williams community group.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Let's jump.
All right.
Planning. Is there any desire or dream you have?
Yeah. So not super great at planning. just because I have a hard time thinking ahead, but I've been excited about getting more involved with the youth, partially so I can keep up my excellent slang game, but mostly because I really enjoy working with kids. I was a camp counselor, and that was a huge part of that, but also just being an older sister for
sure, okay,
most
yeah.
of my life. I love being around kids and being that older sister figure who can be kind of a more comfortable person to go to sometimes when something's like weird or funny in a way that you don't think your parents will understand.
Sure,
And I had some young people who were a little bit older than me, but really helped me out in that way as a child. And I'm like, I want to do that for the kids. So mm-hmm. I've recently started helping out during Remnant One with the youth. And that's been super fun. And
in the 712 part, right?
Yeah.
Or do you go all over?
It's been in the 712 part. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I would like to do something to, I don't know, let the kids do activities together. I envision something kind of like a ladies' craft time, but mm-hmm. for slightly younger ladies.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of the kinds of things that I would have appreciated as a young person who struggled to make friends.
Yeah.
And I don't know exactly what that looks like, but that's something that's been tickling my mind lately. Like, mm-hmm. oh, I have a home with rooms in it.
Yeah.
It would be cool to use that space, not just for my peers, but also for younger people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some families, moms out there who would really appreciate that.
Yeah.
So what do you love about kids? What connects you to them?
they're a lot of fun. I don't know. It's in some ways, I don't think that we ever stop being kids. I mean, I joke when I say we're all children of God, but we are. Mm-hmm. We're all God's children. And
is that the serious part that you're talking about in your personality?
Listen, when I tell you that I used to struggle with being serious to a point where I couldn't make friends, I am being entirely honest.
Yeah.
So the silliness is a wonderful gift from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
but yes, we are all kids. And since I was a kid who was a little bit more awkward. I find it easier to, I don't know, I guess, identify that in other kids, and I want to help them be a little less serious in the best way, you know?
Yeah, that's good. I'm pretty sure I even said that to Oliver today. He did something that he probably should have laughed at about himself, and he took himself way too seriously.
Yeah.
Like, buddy, we gotta have a little more joy here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, so here's a sideways question. What gifts do you think that you have to actually realize this?
I think, so experience is definitely one, just having been a kid. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know, in the job interview way, it's kind of hard to brag about yourself.
I'm going to fold my arms on the table right now.
But if I had to tell you how it will benefit your company, I think there's some discernment and some gentle wisdom.
Okay.
Yeah, that I have and would like to share. I think it's easy for people to tell you how to do something better, but it probably needs to be said a few times, a few different ways. And if I can be one of those ways, praise God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And kind of like I mentioned in the beginning of our first podcast, I just think that God has made you a good friend. So you actually are that friend you read about. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tried and true, baby. So is this a modest dream or something that maybe you hope will grow bigger? Like we're talking about a kid here and there.
I don't know. I think it'll kind of depend on what the needs of the community are. So part of me is like, oh, well, I could start a chapter of American Heritage Girls at Remnant or or start a youth sports league. But it comes down to what the kids around actually would enjoy and what would be good for them and what would be something that their parents would be excited about and on board with. So I don't know, maybe we should get coffee sometime and talk about what your kid's like.
My mind is excited.
Yeah.
All right. And then you have some other things in this category.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to participating in the Maker Institute this fall and learning more about art and philosophy and theology and stuff. And I'm super excited about that, which is new for me just because in art school.
What do you mean by participate?
Participate. I'm gonna be in the class.
You're being enrolled.
I'm gonna be enrolled in the Maker Institute.
So exciting.
I'm very excited. Yeah, I'm thrilled. And like I was saying, if you had asked me when I was graduating college if I would be thrilled about school anytime soon, I would have said absolutely not.
Yeah.
But it's exciting to continue with this endeavor that we've had as Shaco Art Space and as our community of makers at our church. And even as it grows larger, I'm excited to be a part of it. And also to be learning from people who love Jesus and have such a solid foundation of God's word in God's world about art and about design and about aesthetics. It's very exciting. It's something to look forward to, in contrast to learning at VCU, which was so often for people who didn't have objective foundations for much, if anything, in their life. And that made it very difficult to learn from them because they didn't know what they were talking about in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So is this kind of a long dream that you didn't know that you had to keep pursuing art, theology, philosophy, and all of this? Or is this something kind of newer in your life that you want to make more of a priority?
I guess a little bit of both. I don't think that I was obviously I wasn't specifically dreaming about a grad school type experience when I graduated college, but I've always enjoyed discussion and breaking things down logically and having reasons for what I'm excited about, what I believe. And I hate not being able to answer for what I believe and answer for questions people have, especially, I mean, with my family about art specifically, and not being able to back up my intuition with reason makes conversations and explaining things difficult, especially to my younger brothers who are trying to understand from me, like, hey, what's this whole art deal?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm very excited to have more resources to turn to them and be like, yeah, no, art is a wonderful gift from the Lord and is going to change the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we just had someone in our community group connect with someone else who maybe has been hanging around a little bit and has started to get more clarity on God's, I don't know, I don't want to go off on too far of a tangent. But anyways, this girl, it was really cool. She said, I didn't know God cared so much about the arts. And like her eyes were really open and she was excited, super excited. So is there anything beyond this fellowship that you hope to do, or do you think just a good end in and of itself?
I mean, I hope to continue helping out. I think if I'm made to do anything, it's to help. Mm-hmm. So whatever that looks like as the organization grows, I'm excited to be a part of. My current job is to print and bind books at I do production printing for an organization here in the city, and I know Maker Press is something that we want to do, and
yeah.
I don't know what that'll look like as we grow, but maybe we get our own bookbinder. Maybe we get machines that I know how to run and I can help in that way, and that would be lovely. I don't know. Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
In a way, I'm not, like we were discussing on the last podcast, I'm not trying to move away from Richmond anytime soon. I mm-hmm. don't have to, and I'm excited not to. So whatever that looks like in terms of what my skills and abilities are, I'm excited to put those towards more people getting excited about how excited God is about art.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You joked, or maybe didn't joke, but whatever. Planning is not your strong suit.
No.
What if it's just like a skill you didn't know that you have, you just got to kind of tap into it?
Maybe. I think it's more a skill that I don't want to develop because I'm lazy.
That's not a song.
No, not yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I have not put in the work to develop any planning skills that may be lying dormant within me.
Mm-hmm.
My mom's definitely a planner. My dad's less of a planner.
Yeah. Was she like color-coded lady, or how far did it go?
So initially, no. But when I think it was when we were in, I think four kids, she was like, okay, this is too much. I need to start writing all this down. And she got one of those organizer books and mm-hmm. started writing out all the activities of every day of every week and all the school that we needed to get done at which times and when, and if we had any field trips and if my dad had any trips and, you know, whatever was going on, she started writing it down. And I'm very impressed by that and a little bit intimidated.
Yeah.
I might get to that level, but for now, what little I write down has been enough to keep me organized.
Do you like when others plan for you? You good with that?
Depends on the plan.
Yeah. Wind blows kind of gal. I don't know.
I don't like surprises, so not quite.
All right, Hannah, let's go to sewing. You also chose, like my last guest, to put planting in there to think about it in that way. So what is being planted in your life right now?
So right now it's this new job. So I recently switched jobs. I was working for Richmond Pro Lab for the past 2.5 years, and for the first time I decided to leave a job that was good for a job that was better, instead of a job that had become bad for a job that was better.
Yeah.
So it was tough, but it was also exciting to be taking a new opportunity and making a choice that was for my good in a business kind of way. I was like, okay, even though I really enjoy these people, this is a good and better opportunity. So I look forward to the way that God's going to use this for my good and for his glory.
I think what's so interesting about the situation that you're in is that you like didn't have to change.
Yeah.
It would just sort of is something that was suggested to you or brought up to you, right? Mm-hmm. You didn't seek it out.
No, I didn't. Yeah.
And so how does that feel to make a decision that feels like I don't have to make a decision?
Feels weird. Yeah. It's good, but it's definitely strange. The phrase that's been coming to my mind more and more often is lean in. I think even though there are things that are uncomfortable about this change and about other changes that are upcoming and upon me, it's important to not shrink back. I think it's in Hebrews 10, we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but stand firm and are saved, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a steadiness to leaning into the wind instead of trying to tiptoe into it and getting knocked over, you mm-hmm. know?
So you made a decision not to coast and actually use wisdom to make, like you said, a decision for the better.
Mm-hmm.
And so how is this for the better, and what are the benefits of you doing it?
Yeah, I mean, part of it is location. So this is physically closer to where I live. I don't have to do as much driving to get to work, and I could in fact start start biking to work again, which is really exciting because that exercise is nice and I find it very fun and very eye-opening to bike someplace or walk someplace instead of driving. So much more to see. So the location is better. The organization is better overall. So it's a Christian organization, which as a Christian, I am super about. And it's a missions organization, which I grew up reading stories about missionaries, and my family supported missionaries. And so to me, that always seemed like maybe not a job that I wanted, because they got sick a lot in those missionary stories.
Oh.
Yeah. Very challenging, but definitely something honorable and adventurous in a way that very few jobs are now. Very few callings and vocations seemed to me as a child. I was like, okay, so if you're going to be an adventurer, you have to be either a soldier or a missionary, and that's kind of it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So that part is exciting to me. Supporting people spreading the gospel is exciting. But then also just in a very like business kind of way, the benefits are better. I'm getting more paid time off. I'm getting better
mentioned
support.
Health benefits.
Yeah, too. Better health care there. And the way that they demonstrate their care for people, even down to this level where they're like, we're going to take care of you guys through this because we believe that we ought to take care of people, is such a beautiful demonstration of Christian love. And I'm super pleased by that. That they're walking out what it means to be Christian, even in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But at this point in your life, why do you want to position yourself at an organization like this?
So actually, part of the reason I took the job was because of being part of the Maker Institute class. The job that I was at previously was a trainer position, which I enjoy the mentoring training part of that job. But it was a huge emotional investment to go in every day and be like, all right, I'm going to connect with this class of people and try and convey information to them and try and make them feel comfortable and be their friend for a week.
Yeah.
And then next week, I've got a new group of people and I'm going to try and convey information to them and welcome them into the workspace and be their friend. And then, all right, and then next week, and just a lot of mental and emotional work, which meant that when I was done with work, I didn't feel like I had a lot left over to do the kinds of things like mentoring young people and like reading lots of books that I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So taking a different position with different responsibilities closer to my home felt like a wise decision if I wanted to lean into these things that God was putting my path to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So last question here. So how creative do you get to be at this job?
Not super creative. We are mostly responsible for printing things that other people are designing, but a little creative when people don't really know what they want. I don't know if you've ever worked at a place where people come in and they know they want something, but they don't really know what it is.
Yeah.
But there's a component where there's still a explaining and teaching components. Like, okay, you know, you want a booklet. Do you want a booklet with staples in it? Do you want a booklet with a spiral bound edge?
Yeah.
How big do you want your booklet? Okay, now if you want it that size and you have color that's coming all the way to the edge, please make it a little bit bigger.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Not in a condescending way necessarily, but just in a, not everybody knows exactly the breakdown of what these machines can and can't do.
Sure.
So it'll definitely be part of my job to help people understand that and kind of tweak the given materials to fit what they actually want.
Are these like big machines, like the early prototypes of computers type things? They're like taking over a room?
They're big machines, yes, but they're much more technologically advanced. So
yeah.
Let's see. They are longer than the room we are in now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but only maybe about as wide as a card table.
Okay.
So they print, they crease, they staple, they punch, they fold. There's, it's basically like a printer that you can get little add-ons to.
Mm-hmm.
So there's one print engine, and then you can add paper trays onto the front for different kinds of paper if you want to print a book that has a sturdier cover and then lighter pages.
Okay.
And then there's a section that prints, and there's a section that pulls the paper in and it can crease it in the middle, and then a section where it can pull the paper in and then staple it all together and fold it over.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's a section where you can print stuff out and then feed it back into the machine and it'll fold it into thirds. Or fold it in half.
Wow.
If you want to do mailers or something like that. It's a really cool machine.
Don't mess up, right? Oh, man.
Oh, man.
If you press that button.
Crazy.
What if you add like a couple zeros on accident or
something? Oh, man. It prints slowly enough that you should be able to catch that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Let's move right along to this section where we talk about something that's being watered in your life. So what are you actively tending, stewarding, praying about in your life?
Sure. Yeah. So it was kind of hard to separate these next few sections out for me. I guess in terms of the garden analogy, it was more like a cyclical thing.
Okay.
So the things that I am watering now are some of the same things that are being harvested. And
okay.
Because it's a planting and watering and harvesting, and it just keeps going.
Yeah.
Kind of in the same way that the Israelites kept needing to be reminded yeah. about the goodness of God.
So you drew it.
So I drew it.
Yeah.
In a few different iterations to try and get the relationship of the things correct.
Yeah.
But right now I think most of what's going on in terms of watering is perseverance in suffering. So like I mentioned before, I've had a headache for 9 years and change now, and gets a little old.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that I get to, like, you know, be sad about it all the time.
Yeah. So you wrote on here, which I thought was pretty bold of you, I may as well make the best of it, exclamation point.
Yeah.
So how long have you had this attitude / perception? Because those two aren't the same thing. Is that the attitude you have, or is that your perspective on the situation? Like, kind of muscling up towards it, or have you come to see it that way, truly?
I think I have come to see it that way. I think there's part of me that's just very practical, and it's like, okay, well, if I'm sad all the time, it's not going to make it better. So if I have a choice, which I do believe that we have choices when it comes to our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Something that my mom told me when I was growing up that was really helpful was, it's your brain. You get to choose what's happening. You have control and you get to direct your thoughts. It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's like taming wild horses, but that's doable. That's a thing that people can do.
Sure.
So I respond to what's going on around me, and the response is my choice, even if the what's going on around me or what's going on in my life isn't my choice.
Mm-hmm.
So as a Christian, I believe that I ought to grow in grace in terms of my responses to what happens.
Yeah.
So if what happens is chronic pain, I can choose to be a, you know, a sad sock of feelings and just, oh, woe is me.
Yeah.
But that doesn't actually, first of all, it doesn't improve the situation. It doesn't make me feel better. But also, it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
It's kind of just a bummer to be around somebody who's like, I'm sad all the time. It's like, all right, well, why are you sad all the time? Where is your joy of the Lord? Yeah.
Peel back this perseverance word. Tell me what it means.
So to persevere is to continue on in something. Usually you don't have to persevere in something that's easy. I've never had to persevere in eating Oreos, for example. But you persevere, you keep going in something, and you call it that because it's difficult but good.
Mm-hmm.
So I am not called to lay down and be sad when I am in pain. Just like I'm not called to lay down and be sad if there's a task that I don't want to do. Instead, I have to persevere. I have to keep doing the good works that God has prepared for me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good and wonderful thing.
You quoted a verse here in your notes.
Oh, yes. God has worked all things for good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. I forget what the reference on that one actually is, but I find it very encouraging because it's true. I mean, God's got a plan, and he's writing the story that we're in. And I don't get to choose exactly what his part for me is, but I do get to trust that it's good
yeah.
and glorious.
What are some purposes that you have seen in your life that you can point to?
Being an encouragement to people around me, specifically my my siblings. I know in the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus asks who our neighbors are.
Okay.
And I think the simplest answer to that is just who's right there, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't believe that God allows coincidences. I don't think there are accidents about who's around us or anything really, but right now we can talk about who's around us. I'm not sister to my brothers and sisters, or sister rather, on accident, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So the first people who I am able to affect for good or for ill are my siblings. And so I think that is a good purpose, to be kind and to be a good example to my siblings.
Do they know that you're suffering?
Oh, yeah.
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 So how is this something that you're attending to, or how do you pray about this?
Often.
Yeah.
And in different ways. Sometimes it's just songs that my mom or dad taught to us, like just little, like, I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. I mean, yeah. Stuff like that, where it's truth from the scripture, and it's in a way that it's easy for me to recall and see application immediately. It's like, oh yeah, this seems really hard, but I've got the joy yeah. down in. I mean, it's silly, but it's encouraging, mm-hmm. and it's true. And it's simple, which means that it's easy in moments where it's hard to, I don't know, find words. It's easier to find songs.
Sure.
But also, just praying right out of scripture. There's a lot of people in scripture who, for one reason or another, are going through really rough times. God doesn't often choose people who have super happy and easy lives to focus on in scripture. And part of that, I think, is because it's easier to see God's work in those high contrast, high pressure moments. So part of why I love the book of Job is that Job's going through it.
Yeah.
Job is having a hard time, but he still has peace and trust in the Lord. Even when his wife is like, hey, I know I'm supposed to be your companion and to be an encourager and helper to you. Curse God and die.
Yeah.
That's your best option. Your best advice from me, your wife, is to abandon your God, curse his name, and just die already. But even then, Job is still adamant, like, no, I won't curse the name of the Lord. I won't. God gets to decide what happens to me. And the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So I find those characters and the words from those characters to be very, I don't know, helpful and peace-giving, I guess.
Yeah. Do you remember life before this pain?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I do. Which in some ways makes it more difficult. But in some ways makes it easier. Because it's like, I know that I exist beyond that, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And in the words of Encarnacion, this too shall pass.
yeah, I know. Yeah,
nothing is forever except for God, and what he decides is forever. And he said that someday he's going to come back. And
so I just wanted to read a little scripture at this point.
Sure. Yeah, go for it.
I don't know how I found this verse, but it's in Lamentations.
Oh, I love Lamentations.
You do? Okay, great. We're good. We're good. Thank you, Lord. Here we go. There's a whole lot here, and if I could, I could read many chapters. I don't normally read length of scripture on the podcast, but there's actually a lot I'm cutting out of this podcast just because it is so heavy for Hannah, and it is so painful, and I just thought it'd be great to just insert here for anyone who's suffering like Hannah, or just for Hannah, just to wash God's word over us. So here we go. Chapter 3. I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. Surely against me he turns his hand again and again the whole day long. He has made my flesh and my skin waste away. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and enveloped me with bitterness and tribulation. He has made me dwell in darkness like the dead of long ago. He has walled me about so that I cannot escape. He has made my chains heavy. Though I call and cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with blocks of stones. He has made my paths crooked. He is a bear lying in wait for me, a lion in hiding. He turned aside my steps and tore me to pieces. He has made me desolate. He bent his bow and set me as a target for his arrow. He drove into my kidneys the arrows of his quiver. I have become the laughingstock of all peoples, the object of their taunts all day long. He has filled me with bitterness. He has sated me with wormwood. He has made my teeth grind on gravel and has made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my wanderings. the wormwood, and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men. And there's more. I encourage you to read it. But,
Amen. Yeah, I actually have a piece of that on a bracelet. I made a bracelet just with the word steadfast on it to remember that the steadfast love of the Lord never fails. Yeah. It's encouraging to know that God's character is so solid and consistent. I think it's easy to look at the Old Testament and just see wrath and anger and destruction of the evil, and look at the New Testament and just see love and encouragement and don't worry about it. Jesus will forgive you. But really, God's character is solid and consistent throughout. His wrath and his love are parts of his character that don't change and aren't wavering.
You wrote in your notes that another thing being waters is faith and the faithfulness of the Lord. You said God is good, and that is a linking verb, which means good describes him, or it equals him. It points back to him. It's his very name. It's his character.
Mm-hmm.
And is that something you pray to believe, or is that something that's kind of at rest in your soul?
I think both. I think it's a comfort, and it's a it's another thing that needs to be built and rebuilt and built and rebuilt in me, because I'm so quick to forget how great God's faithfulness is. So it's the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, is one that is kind of playing on repeat in my head a lot.
Yeah.
Because it's true. God's faithfulness is great. He never changes. Every morning, his faithfulness is new and beautiful, and also just the same as it was yesterday and just as the same as it will be tomorrow.
Sometimes I play on words in my mind or just reverse things. Wouldn't it be funny to sing like, minuscule is thy faithfulness, or, you know, I don't know, or what else would it be? Teeny tiny is your faithfulness, and
unfaithful is your faithfulness.
You know, and that's not the hymn. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
You could even take it further. Yeah, so I thought it was interesting that you put great is God's faithfulness to me, and then you said as well as to my family and the church, and then you went to time, and then you went to space. And then, so clearly, like, the personal matters to you, but then you scaled that out. Is that somewhere, like, you're...
It's deeply comforting.
Yeah.
Because it's like, yes, I can look even at such a small space as my own, so far, relatively short life, and say, oh, God, great is thy faithfulness. But then I can look at my family and say, oh, God, great is thy faithfulness. Mm-hmm. And then I can look even further, and it's just like looking at creation, where the smaller you go, you can still see the glory of God, and it's vast and it's beautiful, and you can't run anywhere and hide from who God is. Throughout time and space, he is the same, and he's faithful.
Yeah. Let's just go back real quick again before we move on, but just to this word perseverance, is that I did look it up, and at least in one dictionary, it was described as, I thought this was cool, strength. Mm. Towards a thing. And that reminded me of what you said before about leaning into the wind.
Yeah.
Strength towards a thing, to continue steadfastly in a thing and give unremitting care to it. And so you want this to grow.
Yeah.
You don't want to neglect this perseverance in your life.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
No, I definitely don't want to neglect this. I there's a part of me, the lazy part, that wishes that I didn't have to. But given what God has put in front of me, I want to be strong and I want to be graceful also.
Mm-hmm.
Because my God is great and good, and truly the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. And I don't want to be wailing when I should be rejoicing.
Something that I've been turning over in my head recently is just the reality of the gift of in the new covenant of the Holy Spirit. And God has supplied all we need for life and godliness and by indwelling in us. And that he doesn't lie. And that in this covenant, he's, as you said, he's faithful and he's bound himself to this covenant. And I don't know that I've fully tapped into like what that means.
Yeah.
I think so often I just fall short of belief in his promise. I'm working on that too. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. You said that this is probably going to be a theme through the next sections. Yeah. Are you pulling that forward into training and pruning?
Yeah, no, for sure. So again, related to the response to this suffering, I think that God is training me to have better a better grip on everything. I think it's, what I wrote here is that it's easier to and better to head off a spiral of sloth and despair right at the start than it is to try and exit the slide of doom once you've picked up speed. I'm using a metaphor that my dad told me about when I was younger, a shame spiral where, okay, one bad thing happens and mm-hmm. it's your fault and you feel really bad about it. And so, oh, well, I can never succeed again. You know, nothing will ever go my way. And I am the problem and I'm the worst. And it's a downhill spiral, which if you've ever been on a spiral slide or a water slide or anything like that, you realize mm-hmm. you keep going faster and you pick up speed and it feels inevitable. And it's not something that we have to continue with. Mm-hmm. So something I've been learning to do and trying to trust God in more is, okay, a bad thing happens. All right, now stop.
Yeah.
Don't immediately spiral. Instead,
or not drop and roll?
Yeah, no. Well, if you're on fire, stop, drop, and roll, kids. No, but stop and pray and turn to the Lord and be like, hey, God, I'm having a big emotion. Please help me to respond correctly and remember who you are and that you're in control. And through you, I can hold on to the wild horses that are my flailing emotions.
Yeah.
And have peace.
So the slide of doom goes to flailing emotions.
Flailing emotions and then to sloth and then to despair. So, ow, my head hurts. Oh, I can't do anything. Oh, I can never do anything. Which is an incorrect response on top of an incorrect response on top of an incorrect response. Okay, my head hurts, but there's good work to be done. Oh, but I'm tired. Okay, but the Lord has promised to provide what I need to do the good work that he's set up for me to do. And he's a good father. It's not like he's told me to vacuum the floor and then given me no vacuum, you know? He's told me to take good care of what he's given me, and then he's given me the tools to do that. And I have to lean in again and trust that he's faithful and trust that he's actually going to provide what I need to do what he's given me to do.
So did you always have that language, sloth and despair? When did you know to even say those words?
I think, gosh, in terms of how I'm thinking about this now, they're relatively new words for me. Okay. I don't think I would have reflected quite enough to use these words until very recently, you might say, when I started thinking about this podcast.
Okay.
when I started reflecting and trying to actually take a closer look at what God was doing and put words to it, which I don't do a ton of self-reflection. I don't journal, although that would probably be a better way to keep track of God's faithfulness than, and it might be helpful for me and for my faulty memory in terms of that. But that reflection actually has been really helpful for putting words to things. Right. So I think when I am in pain, I tend to respond with a desire to do nothing. Like, oh, I feel bad, so I'm just going to sit here and hope I feel better. Which means that I'm actually neglecting tasks that I ought to be doing, like putting away my laundry, mm-hmm. for example. Totally random example, surely. Mm-hmm. Or things that I enjoy, like reading another book or watching a movie I've been meaning to watch or going and hanging out with people. It's like, oh, but I'm
You're
but
saying
I'm
even
tired.
Those things are hard to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even though they're hard, they're still good and I still ought to do them. So the response shouldn't be, oh, my head hurts. I'm just going to lay down. Sometimes that is the correct response. You know, sometimes I need a nap or a snack or both. But that can't always be my response. Because when that becomes a habit, then it leads to the despair where it's like, yeah. Oh, well, I can't do anything but sit around, which is not true, but it can feel true.
Is this a daily battle?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So suffering the way that you're talking about it is that it sounds like it's not necessarily like a neutral thing, that it sounds like almost like it could be wielded as a force to either grow you towards the Lord or spiral you down to, you use the word anxiety. Mm-hmm. So, but at the same time, it's just so wild that like suffering and pain could grow trust somehow and Lord, which can grow peace somehow. I don't know, you know?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Yeah. So I think it's about the response, right? So we believe in a God who is sovereign and a God who is good, which means that nothing that happens is outside of his control. So that means if I'm suffering, that's still within his control, mm-hmm. right? If the circle of his control encircles everything, because he's actually the God of the universe who made everything on purpose and he's in control, that means that me and my suffering are still in that circle. So, okay, that's, we'll call that first premise, which means that if he is the God who works all things for good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes, then this must be working for his purposes for mm-hmm. the good of those who love him. And I'm one of those who love him. So this must be a tool for my good and for his glory. And honestly, situations like the pandemic actually make these things really clear. It's polarizing. It's you have to pick a side kind of situation. You can despair or you can trust in the Lord. Mm-hmm. You can run in fear or you can stand in confidence. And the response to pain is either sinful or glorifying to the Lord.
Yeah.
It can't be anything else. So if I choose to trust in the Lord, then that gives glory to God. Praise God. Mm-hmm. it can be an encouragement to others. But most of all, it brings peace. It's like, okay, this is something that I can't do anything about, really. I can worry about it, but who by worrying can add even a day to his life? Not me. So my worry, my anxiety will only, I don't know, take away joy.
Mm-hmm.
So by not choosing not to worry and trusting in the Lord, I have peace, because I think of peace as kind of an opposite to anxiety.
Okay.
So you either have peace or anxiety, but you can't really have both, right? So trusting in the Lord through suffering negates anxiety and results in peace. And a person who's peaceful through suffering, if that's not giving glory to the Lord, I don't know what is.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a good and wonderful thing.
You did bring your Bible just at any point. I just want you to know, like, please do bust it out and,
yeah.
and read it.
I'd love to read the this piece of scripture from Romans chapter 5, starting in verse 1. It starts with a therefore, which means you should really read the rest of Romans, but I'm not going to right now. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. And it's finishing there at verse 11. I just think that that's really encouraging because Paul's great at this. It just breaks it down. You know, we've been justified by faith, and therefore we have peace with God. And we have access into grace by faith, and therefore we can rejoice in this hope that we have.
And you can be assured that your pain is not because of God's wrath.
Yeah. I'm standing in the blood of Jesus, and therefore God looks at me as if I am perfect and rejoices over me and doesn't respond to me the way that I deserve according to my sins. So this is not a punishment that I should complain about. Although if it was, I would have no room to complain the wages of sin are death. What's a headache to death? But it's not a punishment. It's, I guess, a tool to display the glory of God.
How does this take us into weeding? What's God pulling out of you?
Yeah, excuses.
Oh, okay.
So as much as I would love to say that I'm really good at heading off that that shame spiral, I'm not. And I often make excuses to myself about why I haven't done the things I know I ought to do. And more I think that I gotta stop making those excuses. I can't just be lazy and be a poor steward of what God has given me because, ow, my head hurts. It's like, yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not a good excuse for poor stewardship. So I have to turn to God for the strength that I don't have. He said that he's going to provide what we need for the work that he has for us. And the work that he has for me most clearly is good stewardship of the things that he have given, including but not limited to my home,
yeah.
My body, my time. These are resources that he's provided for me to take care of. And I confess I'm not a very good steward all the time.
Put specifically, unless I misunderstood, sloth and despair is the things that you're confessing and desiring to turn from. But you said, or you drew in your notes, that there's in a way that they could actually just keep feeding each other.
Yeah. So it's kind of like falling down a set of stairs.
Yeah.
So for me, at least, when I am responding poorly, I sink into sloth and I just sit around and play Sudoku or watch YouTube videos or whatever when I should be getting up and doing things. And then since I don't get up and do things, I think to myself, I'm the type of person who can't get up and do things.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sit around and distract myself from that thought. And then I'm like, I'm the person who sits around and distracts herself from thoughts. And it's like falling down a spiral set of stairs.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to stop. And it hurts all the way down.
Is it easier to be around people, or is it actually harder for you?
It's harder, but it's better,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
No.
Okay. have you ever had a thought that bounces around in your head, and then you say it out loud to somebody, and suddenly it's, like, not an issue anymore?
Definitely.
Yeah. So it's like that, where sometimes I do just need a nap. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, when I feel like I just need a nap, I should probably go and spend time with some Christian brothers and sisters,
yeah.
and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, which is easier to do with other people.
Yeah,
and it's,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's easier to not sink into ridiculous thought spirals when I'm around other people who love Jesus and love me.
Yeah, well, especially Christians that have joy, that are doing the thing that you hope to do is like, lean in that you said, because exactly. Joy is so contagious, you know, like the laughing game.
Yeah.
If one person starts laughing,
everybody's going to be laughing.
And joy does change culture. I was just thinking about it as I was praying about your notes and penciling down some questions, is that you said that you do want to grow in the good works that God has for you. And he made you for good works, but with joy, because he did make us for good works, but could you imagine doing those good works with no joy?
Yeah, just being sad all the time. It's like, ooh, what a bummer.
Which means that we can pray to, like, taste that this side of heaven.
Yeah.
Even if it's hard.
And, oh, absolutely. And I think that's part of the glory, is to work with joy.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that anybody can really, you know, if they put their mind to it, muscle through and suffer and put a stiff upper lip on and be like, I'm just going to get it done. but that's how much more powerful is it to see somebody picking up a heavy burden with joy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And something else I just want to throw out there, and I know that you do too, is Like, we can ask God for these things and not stop. He, like, tells us to be the annoying neighbor in the middle of the night and knock and knock and ask, and ask him, like, for a clean conscience and to peer. Like, I do this too. We're starting to pray to do it more. Or just, God, will you search me and purify my thoughts and the whole of my life towards your kingdom? Because the Bible says, in a lot of ways, even like pain or not, I think the point of what you're trying to share is it doesn't excuse you from the good works of God's kingdom. And to even be praying, like, God, even just purify that so that I don't, even suffering or not, miss doing the works that are actually good, you know?
Yeah.
And I think even just your interesting example of the work, it could have been your job change anyway. It could have been like a non-issue, like we talked about, like, change my job, don't change my job. But in a way, you actually positioned yourself for more good works in this new job. And I don't know, I'm excited to see what God's going to do. And I hope that somebody sings with you there.
I hope so too. Yeah. It seems like my new coworker and I, our music tastes don't overlap.
Oh,
yet.
Yet. I like that. Yeah. Ryan and I had to share music with each other, and it's kind of been fun to see over the years how we've influenced each other's taste.
Yeah.
For sure. And I don't know, I just wanted to say that I actually personally, Hannah, I feel ashamed to say this, but I didn't know that you were suffering so much. And so there's a way that you have showed joy and peace externally, even if you're torn up inside in your heart and your mind. And I just wanted to praise the Lord for that work that he's done in you, even if you didn't know that you were displaying God's peace in your life. And just to say that I'm sorry that I didn't know that you've been going through this, and I just want to pray for you more and more. So
thanks.
Yeah. So Hannah, somehow this still rolls in further.
Oh yeah.
Not in a spiral, but in a beautiful way, like you said earlier, a cyclical, I don't know if you want to say the dying and rising, but in a beautiful garden-like way. God loves gardens. So how has this somehow rolled into a harvest?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've been encouraged by steadier emotions. I think all of us ladies can experience some cyclical highs and lows in terms of emotions. But I have been encouraged that I find it easier to turn to God in moments of stress and frustration because of the faithfulness of God and the way that it's been displayed to me. I find it easier and quicker as I've grown older, and I guess I hope more mature, to turn to God and pray and find comfort in the character and the promises of God. And the result of that is less distress in times of big decisions, which is great, because big decisions and big changes have always been frustrating and stressful and unnecessarily dramatic. So that has been an encouragement and a harvest, and I hope we'll keep going with that as I continue to grow, till someday I'll be just a bastion of peace and calm.
You like these dramatic words.
I do. I so like dramatic words. I think it's a overabundance of reading as a child.
You want to know something wild? Okay, I don't remember how I came across this, but it was in my own personal morning Bible reading, and somehow I ended up on Psalm 18. I'm going to turn there really quickly.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm kind of tripping out on how this relates to you. Can I put you on the spot, Hannah? Will you read Psalm 118?
Sure.
So if I'm wrong, well, it's not necessarily something that I said, but I read, so it could be wrong anyway. But this is the where we get the psalm. So if you remember, when Jesus rides into Jerusalem and Palm Sunday and all that, it comes from here, and it's like the Hosanna line, where they're waving the palm trees and they say Hosanna, and Hosanna means save, we pray. And from my reading anyway, this is the last song sang by Jesus and the disciples at the Last Supper. And what's compelling about it, when I think of you and why I think the Lord had me write it down, is because there's distress in this psalm, and the cry Hosanna, save, we pray, turned into like praise and thanks.
Yeah,
like it became I don't know, whenever I think of it anyways, it's like a praise type of thing. Like,
yeah.
The glorious one riding in triumphantly, but it's comes, at least from my understanding, this origin here, more of a cry of distress and anxiety. And so what a beautiful meditation and like the transformation of that word. But anyways, Hannah, would you read it, please?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord I cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They went out like a fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords upon the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. O, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever.
Beautiful.
The first and last verses, O, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever, are the first bit of a song that we sing together as a family. I would sing it, but it's a ladies and guys song, so I would need my dad and my brothers here.
Awesome. One more thing, and you can draw out whatever else you want to, but I just wanted to draw out their harvest, the gracefulness and suffering that comes from peace. And I just thought, wow, that is a stunning thought when I read that. Gracefulness in suffering. Is there such a possibility? And I think you've shown that, Hannah. You've shown that reality to me and to so many people. And I just want to praise God. Would you like to end this in any way? You've got another hymn here. It starts with On Christ.
Oh, yeah. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. That's another hymn that comes to mind because Christ is the foundation of my life. Without that, I've got nothing. I mean, where else could I go, Lord? May I ever rest in your strong arms.
Yes. Hannah, how would you like to close our time together?
I've written a prayer for perseverance, and I'd like to close with that. O Lord, my Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You are great and mighty, ever steady. Truly, my God and my Father, I can rest in your arms. Good God, you have set good work in front of me. Let me not complain. You have prepared tasks for me, O God. Let me rejoice. My only hope in life and death is that I am not my own, but belong to you, O God. I belong not to my own selfish whims, but to your good purpose. I belong not to my own sinful sloth, but to your body. Not to the despair of my sinful flesh, but to the joy of the Lord, which is my strength. O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let me rejoice, for I have been given a glorious purpose. I am not left without reason. The chief end of man is to know God and enjoy him forever. Let it be so.
Thank you for listening to the Whole Home Podcast, a podcast that displays the unity of sisters in the local church and the way God so wonderfully gives us to each other in our uniqueness and in our sameness for his glory. The stories we share weave together as one grand testimony to the work of Christ and his faithful presence in the garden of our lives. Remember, the Master Gardener is always at work, so let's yield to him and grow where we're planted.